All right, then you are listening to Fans of Wrestling podcast here on FOW Radio. I'm Patrick, and I'm joined by Mike Prime. I guess that's what you're going by now.
Absolutely, man. I think that the Mike Prime movement is sweeping the nation now. The new predictions champion of the CWF, the new, arguably the best co-host in FOW history. I really think that Mike Prime is a force that's gaining momentum and sweeping the nation. And I think that Mike Prime and Mania is just going to run wild through the decades.
I think that you're letting your CWF plastic belt get in your head.
Hey, man,
a tiny bit.
Okay. However, we have attached to the plastic belt a wooden C and an F, so it says CWF. All right. So, I mean, come on. I mean, come on.
I mean, we're comparing, right? I mean,
okay, let me ask you this,
who's
Patrick?
Got the bigger belt?
Let me ask you this, Yellow Man. When was the last time you won the Predictions Championship?
Oh, that's right. You never won it.
Oh, my goodness. I have the belt that I want.
I know. You bought it. You didn't win it in honest competition. Who did you beat for that belt?
It is mine.
Who did you beat for that? It is not the belt that makes the man, it's the man that makes the belt. And for the first time in CWF history, first time, the chief executive champion is making the CWF predictions title look good.
But I'm sure that no one listening cares about that.
Like no one listening cares about most of the things we talk about.
Well, they care about something. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening. So let's get to things people care about.
Yes.
And SummerSlam is done with.
And thank God.
And the night after WrestleMania, part two happened.
Something like that. It's like creative woke up this week and decided to do some work. You know, that was really strong closeout to the weekend.
Once a year, maybe twice, you know, I mean, earn your paycheck. Now, let's talk about what happened, though. The biggest things, the returns.
The returns / debuts.
Debut. Let's talk about the first return. 3D, baby.
Dudley boys are back, baby.
What do you think? I mean, first of all, we saw Bubba at the Rumble, and man, in Philly, he got a huge pop.
Well, I think that now we know why Bully Ray got taken out on TNA television so quickly. He shows up and films a couple episodes, and then I guess he gets a call and is like, hey, we got to write me off. And so they beat him down, and then he shows up in Brooklyn.
Well, I think his deal was short-term anyways.
Well, yeah, I mean, they make a deal for it, like, you know, one weekend of filming, and then you're on their show for 8 months.
Yeah. So, with that, man, we see them back. We weren't expecting it.
With D-Von and everything.
What was your reaction?
It's one of those nights where I ended up, I was supposed to have a meetup here at my place for that Raw, and I ended up canceling it because I didn't think, you know, many people were going to come over, and I just wasn't in the mood for it once I had been through the workday. And I found myself, when the Dudleys came out, deeply wishing I'd done it anyway. I wish I'd had friends over, because that's one of those things you want to watch with your friends in the living room around the TV, losing your minds, because the Dudleys are back. The most decorated tag team in WWE history. They've been multiple-time world champions everywhere they've been. They have a long history. I mean, you think about those triple threat tag team title matches. You think about everything that they've done everywhere that they've been, and they're back, and they're coming out against the New Day, and I just found myself wishing, like, man, I wish I had friends here so we could all be losing our minds together. It's one of those special things, those special moments when you're watching wrestling where you just wish you were watching it with other people.
Absolutely. Now, I was watching with my wife, who had no clue what we were watching.
And you're like, it's just however, so underwhelming. Like, no, I promise. This is a big deal, honey. I promise.
Yeah. You know, enjoying the freshly made, hot, warm pie that she had just baked with some Publix vanilla ice cream to top it off.
You're mad at me that I didn't want to come over, aren't you?
Hey, you missed out. More for me, all right?
Because you need more pie. Both of us do.
Yeah, so it was definitely a cool moment.
It was so underwhelming seeing Bubba Ray come out in the Rumble without D-Von and see him try to do all the Dudley spots with R-Truth. And everybody thought, well, D-Von's obviously coming out eighth. You know, he's coming out next, and they're going to do all the spots. And he never showed up, and it's like, it's not the Dudleys without the Dudleys, you know? And this was kind of I don't know, this was the payoff to that. This was now here they both are, and they can still go, and they can still 3D somebody through a table. Imagine if you're Xavier Woods, that like you probably grew up watching the Dudleys, and now you're in Brooklyn, and they're 3Ding you through a table. Like, that's got to be a career moment for him.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be. There's no way it's not.
It's kind of like one of those things where, you know, you see your idols, people you look up to, and now mm-hmm. you get to work with them. You know, kind of like sort of how Jericho felt with Shawn. Like Shawn may have felt with Flair.
Or that storyline they did where Edge and Hogan were tag champs together, and the whole deal was like Edge being a huge Hulkamaniac as a kid. You know, it's so good to see them back. I think it's great for the tag division, because I think without Kid and Cesaro and without the Usos, I don't know who New Day was going to feud with next. That would be really interesting. The primetime players are great, but we've seen that feud for a couple months now. The Wyatts are out of the tag division now. The Lucha Dragons, I don't really think are there yet. You know, maybe one day. I mean, I really think that whole team is meant to launch Kalisto rather than be a serious tag team. And then you got, I mean, the Matadors. And I think if you'd had a better team in the division, then you would have put them in that four-way tag match and not the Matadors.
Yeah.
So like, where was the New Day going to go next? They're going to go to the Dudleys. And I think that's, like, that's got to be appointment television. The Dudleys and the New Day. Like, I want to see D-Von and Big E have, like, a Southern Preacher off thing. You know, I want to see them both go at it together. I want to see the New Day come out and interrupt the Dudleys, and the Dudleys set up the table. And I want to see all of it. Because both of these teams are fantastic gimmicks. And I want to see them both hold up, play off of each other.
Yeah, well, now I think together, they're going to make a lot of money. I mean, they can go through the rest of the year in just in time for the Usos to be healed up. And, you know, depending on when Kid gets back, even if Kid doesn't get back, I mean, you think about the other teams that are in NXT ready to come in, Enzo and Big Cass,
mm-hmm.
you know, really good tag team. So it's kind of like, man, it gives you hope because, you know, we talked about this last week, how I was starting to feel like, you know, they were digressing a little bit with the tag team division. All that they had gained with the way that they built Kid and Cesaro, New Day, you know, and I felt like all that was going away and they were going to be forgotten again.
You had Kid and Cesaro were great. The Usos were great. The Wyatts were going to be something good. And then you've kind of lost those teams in the division. And I think the primetime players did a great job of upping their game to fill the gap of some of these losses in the division. But the Matadors haven't. You know, I don't know that the Lucha Dragons have.
I don't really think that they've stepped up. More like there's no one else to cheer for.
But it's not that, they're not doing a bad job, though.
They're not doing a bad job, but I still don't think they're all that everybody else thinks they are.
That's fair. You know, but I mean, and see,
they're not the top tag team. And they'll never be the top tag team.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, we were talking about how I was predicting that they were going to debut Enzo and Cass in Brooklyn, and that's why they weren't booked on the TakeOver show. And so I was right that they were going to use the Brooklyn market to have an impact on the tag division, but instead of being Enzo and Cass, it was the Dudleys. And I think what a great town to bring them out in. If you're going to re-debut them, let it be a town that's going to lose their minds as soon as that pyro goes off.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see them as the Dudleys. I mean, I think that can't be overstated. They're not Team 3D. They're not, you know, they're not Aces and Eights. They're not any of this crap. They're the Dudleys.
Well, that's
their biggest moment you remember them being the Dudleys.
And that's what matters. I mean, first of all, WWE is never going to acknowledge whatever they did in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, you're going to bring them back to what they're worth. And that's the Dudley Boys. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons why they kept the name 3D in TNA, is because without the D, really their value goes down. You rebrand them as anything else, and they're not as important.
Yeah, you know, the only I think the only reference that they've even made is that I saw a backstage interview, like a WWE.com clip thing. There was a really good promo with both of them where Bubba Ray started out by saying, I was gonna start out by saying, do you know who I am? Which was one of his TNA catchphrases. He says, but obviously you know who I am because you can still hear the crowd losing their minds and everything. And then D-Von just cuts a great, like, classic D-Von promo, you know, oh, my brother testify or whatever. And I guess it's just, to me, they never felt like the Dudleys because they weren't the Dudleys. You know, they were a great tag team, but all the big moments I remember of them, of those triple threat matches, of ECW, of everything they did in WWE, of all the other tag belts they've won, they were the Dudleys. They were that black and white and gray camo, and they wore the glasses, and it just, it was never the same when they weren't Devon Dudley and Bubba Ray Dudley, and now they are again, and hopefully, you know, they will be for some time to come.
Yeah, well, you know, I think eventually, if WWE really pays attention, they can still have a good run with Bubba, because Bubba showed, if anything, the only meaningful part of their TNA run was Bubba's later run. He lost some weight.
Yeah.
You know,
he reinvented his career as a singles competitor.
And the gimmick sucked with the whole Aces and AIDS. You know, and all this stuff. It wasn't good.
It was just a TNA thing.
But his work was good.
Yes, it was.
So excited. I mean, it was, I think it was 10 months too late. I was ready to see this in January. When he made his Royal Rumble debut, I thought, oh my goodness, maybe now they're back. But then he went away, he did some other shows.
Went back to TNA, did House of Hardcore and all that.
Get a paycheck, you know? Mm-hmm. But now they're here, and they're exclusive, so that's going to be cool. Now, let's talk about, before we talk about the next debut, though, let's talk about somebody who made their, well, return. Let's talk about somebody who made their debut. And you tell me. Braun Strowman.
It's Strowman. It's not Strowman.
Strowman
something.
There's no R. There used to be an R.
Is his real name Strowman, and they just took out the R so they can own the name? You guess that's what it is?
It could be possibly that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
He's a strongman competitor. Like, there's a brand there.
Right.
His name is Braun. I mean, come on. There's obviously a branding there, and so I could see them just saying, well, call him Strowman instead of Strowman, and then we can legally own the name.
Or whatever. And maybe it's easier for some people to spell. Who knows?
English is hard, I know.
Hey, you know. A few people have a hard problem with that. But so he makes his debut as the new member of the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
And question for you, is it a day too late? Would it be better for him to interfere at SummerSlam and cause there to be, you know, a win by the Wyatts? I mean, wouldn't it have been better if he came in SummerSlam, interrupted Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, and took the win away from them to keep the feud going? I don't like it when the babyfaces win the first match, because then really, why do they keep going?
I think he would have gotten lost in the shuffle on SummerSlam. I think SummerSlam was overbooked. I think it was a long show. It was a lot of matches.
And terribly overbooked.
Absolutely. And I think that, see, I mean, like, we were just talking about the Dudleys, like, coming out too late. And it's like, well, this episode felt like the night after WrestleMania. And it wasn't the night after WrestleMania. Would it have still felt that way if we hadn't had these debuts and returns? Like, the Dudleys coming back when they did made a second night after WrestleMania happen, as opposed to being a cool episode of Raw in January. So the same thing with Braun Strowman, whatever his last name is. I think if he'd come out at SummerSlam, it would have been kind of forgettable, or it would have been a footnote, as opposed to on Raw, it's one of the highlights of one of the best Raws in recent memory. I think it's a better way to feature him, bringing him out on Raw. I don't know. It was the same arena. It was the same size crowd. It's the same market. It's arguably a wider audience, because I think it's a wider audience that watches Raw than has the network.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't on the pay-per-view, but I think it was a better way to debut him. Definitely.
Now,
what are your thoughts?
Now, my thoughts with this is kind of like you get this guy, and he's huge, which I think is the coolest thing, because, you know, Harper's a big guy. And then you have Rowan's a big guy.
And this guy dwarfs them.
Bigger.
Dwarfs them.
So I thought that was pretty cool, because
it's like a
big
show
somebody,
kind of thing.
Right. And you need somebody who's believable that can actually take down Roman Reigns, because, you know, Reigns at this point is taking over everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And since somebody that dominant.
He's so strong.
So I thought it was cool. You know, I hate that Rowan's not there yet, mm-hmm, because he's hurt. And I think that that's something that they've needed, is a new face, because the gimmick, while it's over with people, it's getting, because I think mostly because of all of Wyatt's losses,
it's getting stale.
I wonder if they would have debuted him in this way if Rowan hadn't been injured. Because, see, to me, I don't know, maybe this isn't pertinent, but I feel like there's too many factions in wrestling right now that are three members, and I feel like that's not a faction. Like, I don't think of the New Day as a faction, I just think they're a tag team with an extra dude. You know, like, to me, the Dudleys and Spike were never a faction, they were just a tag team with an extra dude. To me, factions are like DX, or the Four Horsemen, or Evolution, or... you know, whoever else, because I feel like a faction is a group of enough guys to compete in multiple divisions. Like, a faction isn't just in the tag division. A faction is like, okay, you're going after the IC title, we're the tag team, that's the world champion, here's the woman, you know, and we run over the whole show. So I've always wanted the Wyatts to be more of a faction, and to be not just, here's the Wyatt segment, but like, oh, here's the match where Luke is, and now Braun's coming out with him. Or, you know, and then Bray's out in the second hour, and here's Rowan and Harper out with him, too.
It's, I've been waiting for an Abigail for a year now.
Yeah, like make them a family that is growing, that he's bringing in more of his followers, not like, I'm Bray, and here's my two bodyguards. You know, I feel like there's not enough real factions in wrestling which are more than just, you know, a bloated tag team.
Now, with that, we have a third guy in the Wyatt family. There's only two guys on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
the third?
Rumor was that Sting was going to be the third guy.
Well,
now, we're going to get to that in a minute with Sting. But now we know it's not him.
Now, who is it?
Who do you think will be the third guy? Who could be the third guy?
Well, I mean, do you try to bring in another big guy? Or does that dilute Braun's presence? Do you bring in... Who do you bring in to counter that without taking away from the fact that he's a giant dude? I honestly don't know. I
mean, who's close to Ambrose?
Like, in kayfabe, who likes Ambrose and Reigns?
Reigns, yeah.
You know, like you would think, oh, well, they're going to reunite with Rollins and do the Wyatts versus the Shield again, but Rollins is taken up with the guy we thought was going to be with Reigns and Ambrose.
I mean, you could throw Orton?
It feels kind of shoehorned. Like, who cares about... I mean, you can put Orton anywhere, obviously, but who cares?
I think anybody would feel that way, though. If you put any guy in there, I don't think any guy makes sense.
Do you have to... For it to be an equal wow factor, where the whole segment, the sum becomes... You know, the whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts, do you have to debut somebody else that's new? Does it have to be another new face? And if so, who is it?
I'm not sure.
I mean, who's down in NXT? Or, I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be NXT because Braun skipped NXT.
Could be Samoa Joe.
I don't think they're done with him in NXT, though.
They're not, but if we're going to pick somebody from NXT to
I mean, yeah, that. I mean, that would obviously be a, you know, everybody would lose their minds, obviously. It'd be a great way to debut him, but, I mean, I think they've stripped the NXT roster enough for the time being. I don't know, man. That's tough. I mean, I feel like what's going to happen is creative is like just going to bring Kane back. Like, that's going to be... They're going to bring him back, put the mask on him, and he's going to be the demon that takes down the whatever Braun is supposed to be.
Could be. I thought about that one, but it would just make sense to
Do they call the Big Show? I don't know. I mean, they're probably just going to shoehorn somebody in there to be the sixth man.
Well, I think we're looking at the Big Show going one-on-one against Ryback. At Night of Champions.
Oh, so The Miz is free. Fantastic, then.
Huh?
So The Miz is free, then. Fantastic.
I mean, I'm hoping, because, you know, it doesn't make any sense at this point, right? I mean, if you look at the tag team match that they just had, The Miz wasn't in it.
Yeah. Maybe you don't need... Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Maybe you don't need a sixth man, because this is not now a 3-versus-3 feud. Maybe what the feud is becoming, now it's Braun versus Roman. That's the storyline.
Maybe
now.
You do tag teams, but you keep Bray on the sideline so he's not taking a loss.
Controlling the family.
Right, yeah. He's controlling from outside, but you don't see him, you know, taking a pin or being in a losing team.
I have a feeling everybody's going to still be around. Like, Ambrose is still going to be there. I think Bray and the rest of the family are still going to be there. But maybe now the focus of the story is can Roman topple, you know, the Colossus or whatever the tagline for Braun is going to be. You know, can he can he chop down the, you know, the sequoia that is Braun Strowman?
Well,
because they kind of, that's how they handled the debut. It was really like, all right, Ambrose, I toss you over here, and now it's like, you know, I'm gonna no sell Reigns charging me.
Yeah,
maybe this is yet another thing that's about putting Roman over.
Now, that's true, and it's gonna be interesting, but you know. It has to be the right guy in order for us to be interested and be like, wow, this is cool. Either you put the right guy with those two,
mm-hmm.
or just keep it the way it is.
Yeah.
Give the White family the numbers. Make Ambrose and Reigns underdogs. So that's going to be interesting to see.
I'll tell you this. If I'm in developmental, I'm not going to grow a beard at this point because I'm just going to get shoehorned as the next Wyatt. I'm just gonna be the next guy tossed into the Wyatt family. That's what I'm thinking.
Then I think we need to keep an eye on the NXT guys, see who's growing a beard.
Valid points. If like if Corbin just stopped shaving, we're like, ah, Corbin Wyatt, here we go.
Or if one of the girls starts.
That's what was wrong with Daniel Bryan, man. That's the problem with Daniel Bryan is they were just like, oh, he's got a beard. We're gonna put him in overalls.
What if he comes back?
I mean, people would lose their minds, and then the internet's going to complain because he's not in the main event, and, you know, I don't know. There's not really a lot. I
think we're going the wrong way. I don't think it's going to be who's the third man to back up Reigns and Ambrose. I think this is still going to be about featuring Roman Reigns.
Well, it could very well be that, but let's go to the last return of the night.
Big surprise.
The hot surprise.
Yeah, I kind of forgot until the curtain went up. I kind of forgot that Sting was rumored to be on the show.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this thing. And I kind of mentioned it to you via text during the show. Rollins was talking for a long time.
Yeah, that segment dragged, didn't it?
And it dragged so much that Sting was in that box for so long. His pain was mostly gone in his forehead because of the sweat.
Yeah, I mean, they had to wheel that thing out there during the commercial breaks. I mean, he'd been out there for a long, long time.
I feel bad because, I mean, he's already got a rescinded line, yeah. And now he had lost some of the paint.
I think it would have worked if he'd been standing there with his bat and with, like, some broken pieces of the statue down around his feet, and then it looks like, oh, he wailed away on this statue and then hid, and that's why he's... You know, blown up like that.
Yeah. But, so Sting comes and makes his debut again. Well, not debut, really.
Reappearance.
But he reappears for the first time since the night after WrestleMania. And he goes after, you know, Rollins. And he gets a title shot. A lot of people are bothered that he lost his WrestleMania match and now he gets a title shot. Your thoughts on that? Do you think it matters?
No, it doesn't matter. It's going to have the same effect that it did at WrestleMania, which is a lot of people who remember Sting are going to want to see the show that otherwise wouldn't. It'll bring extra viewership to Night of Champions. I mean, there were a couple of people here at our WrestleMania party this year that were all that you know haven't been anything else, and it's just because they remember Sting. Like my brother-in-law was here because I was telling him. He had heard a rumor that Sting was back, and apparently he'd had a Sting poster on his wall as a kid. And I was like, "Well, he's wrestling WrestleMania. Why don't you come over?" And like, you know, it was a set of eyeballs on the product because of Sting. Night of Champions will be the same thing. It doesn't matter where he is on the card.
Sting.
Yeah, I mean, it's Sting. Come on. And Rollins is a guy that can, you know, I mean, I think Sting can still go, but Rollins is a guy that can, you know, can take some big bumps and do a lot of cool high spots and everything and add a lot of flash to the match that maybe 50-plus-year-old Sting can't.
Right.
I hope they don't overbook the crap out of this thing like they did the WrestleMania match. That was just too many moving parts, too much stuff happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I kind of want to just see a wrestling match.
Well,
you know?
you look at the way the Rollins works. I mean, and if you had to pick Wrestler of the Year right now, you got to give it to the guy. He's been WWE's MVP.
I think his name is John Cena.
You think so?
How many Match of the Year candidates has Cena been in so far this year, and it's only August? Come on, man. The matches with KO, the Triple Threat, the Rumble that, yes, Rollins was a part of. You know, all of the U.S. title matches, all of the, you know, the... just, I mean, everything he's basically done this year. I thought the Rusev match at WrestleMania was fantastic. I mean, he's been in at least a half a dozen match of the year quality candidates so far this year. And yeah, you can say like he was working with great guys, but you can't argue Cena doesn't help, has not held up his end of the equation.
I'm sure he has, but if I had to pick somebody right now, my pick is Rollins. But that aside,
from a character standpoint, you're probably right.
I mean, look at him. I mean, he's grown leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And
he has, you know, held the belt believably
for a guy who's been able to take the belt and keep it fresh. It's not like anybody's tired of watching him, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the funny things like the t-shirts, you know, you can't knee me, you know, guy doesn't shut up. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's to me the best heel since Edge.
He's very much kind of the spiritual successor to Edge's cowardly heel title reigns, you know, definitely. And he'll be a huge, you know, a huge babyface favorite when he inevitably turns. You know, he'll come out as the legit champion, and the pyro will go off, and everybody will cheer him and everything one day, eventually.
Now, with that, let's go ahead and look into the future. And we know that the main event is Rollins' thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that coming out?
I hope they don't overbook it. I hope that Sting showed at WrestleMania he didn't need all that. Like, I understood it for WrestleMania because you can't guarantee Sting is going to show up in shape. You know what I mean? Like, you trust that he will, but if he shows up not able to go or he gets blown up after 5 minutes, you got to add a bunch of stuff to the match to account for it. So I understand that, but I hope at this point he's shown he can still carry a match. And I just want to see a legit wrestling match with these two guys. I want to see Rollins versus Sting. Sting doing his stuff, Rollins doing his stuff, and I want to see, you know, one of the greatest veterans in the business versus, you know, this up-and-coming, you know, future Hall of Famer just work a match together. I don't want to see this big debacle. I don't want to see a big controversial ending. They'll probably do some kind of a weird finish to preserve Sting, because I know, you know, he's not going to win the title.
Yeah.
That much is a given, but...
I could probably see a DQ finish.
Yeah,
or something like that. Or a finish, something like that, where...
Maybe Triple H runs in or something.
Right, or Kane. I think Kane would more likely be involved in the title picture.
Right.
As far as... Well, he won't be in that picture, but he'll be in the storylines, you know?
Yeah.
Where we could later on see maybe a Sting versus Kane.
We're kind of forgetting the U.S. title, too. When I first saw the curtain raised and Sting standing there, a part of me said the U.S. title is the last remnant of WCW on the roster. But then I saw him pick up the world title, and it's like the U.S. title isn't even a factor.
No, I think most likely you see Rollins either losing it that same night. He might wrestle two times, or he could lose it beforehand.
Maybe Sting costs him the U.S. title. I think he'll probably do the lethal thing where it's like, well, this is for the U.S. title. Like, he'll come out and say, like, I'm going to give anybody that win the back that wants it a title shot. And then somebody comes out, like maybe Cesaro. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to give you a title shot for the U.S. title. And it's like, oh, boo, we thought it was a world title shot. And then Sting comes out and costs him the belt or whatever. That'd be a way to do it.
Now, do you think that they could just pin Sting clean? Make him lose to the pedigree.
Oh yeah,
in the second pay-per-view in a row.
Absolutely. I think they could. I don't see why they wouldn't. It's WWE, and he's a star from WCW. He's gonna get buried.
Now, let's say Sting loses every single match in WWE. Does that hurt Sting and his legend and his star?
I don't know, because Sting's legend isn't in WWE in the first place. I mean, he made his name elsewhere. I think Sting is still going to be Sting no matter what. I mean, they'll probably put him in the Hall of Fame, and they'll sell DVDs, and they'll sell merchandise, and Sting will always be Sting. I'd like to see him win something. But, I mean, are they going to put him over The Undertaker? No. Are they going to put him over Rollins for the title? No. I thought they were going to put him over Triple H, and that didn't happen. So, I mean, who are they going to put him in a feud with and let him beat?
Yeah.
That's going to matter.
Now, talking about matches, what match would you like to see happen at Night of Champions?
I want to see either KO or Cesaro get into that IC title picture, take that belt, and then I want to see KO and Cesaro feud over it.
Okay.
I want to see them do the same thing for the IC title that was done for the U.S. title this summer.
That's cool.
How about you?
Well, and I think that's where they could be headed, but I want to see the Dudleys against New Day.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I think we're definitely getting that, and, you know, that's gonna probably going to be a highlight of the night.
I think that...
I just got really excited thinking about it.
Yeah. So that's definitely something I want to see, and it's going to be interesting how they work to it, because, you know, you still got, like, the primetime players deserved a rematch, and this other tag teams still in the picture. Mm-hmm. Now, talk about tag teams and the Dusty Invitational here. This guy, we had a lot of tag teams. I mean, they already started taping some of them.
So who are the tag teams? We got Blake and Murphy.
I don't think they've announced them, because I think they're all intertwined.
Well, who's in the division? Like, the Blake and Murphy.
It's not just NXT.
Is there going to be WWE guys too?
Yeah, because Neville asked to be in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On Wednesday's NXT episode, mm-hmm. Neville went to...
Did you have a partner in mind?
He didn't announce one.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, he did have a partner at SummerSlam.
Stephen Amell.
That could be... Amell tweeted today saying something like that he's keeping in ring shape in case somebody can't deal with the fact that they lost, which is kind of a cool, you know?
So, I think this Invitational, while it's in NXT, I think we might see different people.
Yeah.
They haven't announced a roster for the tournament or a bracket, so we don't know yet.
Well, just who's in NXT right now? It's Blake and Murphy, the Vaudevillains,
Enzo
and Cass. Who?
Gable and somebody else.
Isn't Ty Dillinger in a tag team with somebody? Or did they break up?
No, he was alone. He's alone.
Okay, I think he was, but he broke up with somebody.
Samoa Joe and somebody else is in it.
Huh. So we're going to get obviously the real tag teams, but they're going to flesh it out with like these... You know, pairs of single guys smashed together teams.
We could very well see so many people that we didn't expect.
Oh, man, what if the Dudleys get involved? How epic would that be?
I think if anybody wins it, I think if they're in it, yeah.
You know, like they brought Too Cool back, and I think they brought the New Age Outlaws down to NXT at one time, too. So there's a precedent for that there. I think it's just cool that we're getting... I mean, the tag team tournament, isn't that going to finish out in a takeover special or some kind of a network special? That's how Regal announced it, right?
Yeah.
So there's that takeover special, and then they, then they announced the London takeover special, right?
Right.
And we're going to get this Madison Square Garden network special. Like, we're heading towards, like, this monthly, like, special must-view thing on the network every month. And, I mean, maybe we've been there for a while, because there was Beast in the East, there was Elimination Chamber, there's been a couple of things.
Yeah, there was the King of the Ring.
I mean, TakeOver Brooklyn was a thing, you know, there were these, like, monthly, you know, exclusively on the network things, which, like, you add that to the pay-per-views, then, I mean, it's such a great value for just the $10 a month. I mean, it's, the pay-per-views themselves are worth it, but then you add in these monthly exclusive specials, and, you know, and especially if a lot of them are NXT TakeOver specials, I mean... From Brooklyn in August to, I think, the tag team thing is in September or October, and then the UK thing is in December. We're getting like a takeover special every other month, like every 8 weeks, which is a pretty good rate. It's not a monthly pay-per-view, so I don't think it's overkill, but that's a pretty good pace there.
Now, it's going to be interesting. A lot of tag teams, it kind of reminds me of the old WCW Battle Bowl. Which, I'm not sure if you are very familiar with
that. I was a WCW kid.
So, it's kind of like, you know, okay, that's cool. You put all these tag teams together. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they've always used to have tag team invitationals in WCW back in the day. So, it's kind of, I can see where, because I didn't understand that first. So, how is it that tag teams, it's, you know, a dedication to Dusty. But then think about it. Well, you know, he booked a lot of these tag teams, and he was involved with a lot of these tag teams. So that's pretty darn cool.
You know, man, I think that tournaments are a thing that we see everywhere in wrestling with it played to great effect. We just don't see it in WWE on the main roster very often. They did King of the Ring, but, like, they kind of just do that when they feel like it. It's kind of a throwaway thing these days almost. But, like... In NXT, we're getting this tag team tournament. I mean, New Japan does the G1 Climax tournament. There's tournaments all over indie wrestling. ROH does tournaments. TNA even did the, you know, the Bound for Glory series for you know, a number of years. I don't know if they still do it or not. We just went to the Scenic City Invitational. Tournaments are a thing that they're huge in Japan, And I think they're gaining popularity in pro wrestling in North America. And I think the tournaments are, they're a different vibe from the regular show. And there's a lot of cool elements about them. And I don't know why we don't see them more often. I remember when Trish debuted as women's champion, they did a women's tournament to crown the new champion. And there's been a couple things like that. But I think it's cool to see tournaments happening in the WWE, you know, neck of the woods. So I'm excited to see how this tag team thing is booked, just because you book tournaments very differently than regular shows. You know, there's a different way to go about them. I think NXT just hits the ball out of the park on so many things. I can't wait to see him put a tournament together. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it needs to mean something. It needs to be special. It needs to mean something.
It's a title shot, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like, think about this. Look at the King of the Ring. I mean, has it done anything for Wade Barrett except for give him another title to become a jobber to everybody else?
Yeah, nothing.
So it's kind of like, okay, well, make this mean something. You know, whether it's a title shot or just say that they're the winners and make it mean something important.
Yeah.
Like when Cesaro won the Andre the Giant Invitational, it meant something for a second. Then he started losing to everybody. The Big Show.
And then they gave it to Big Show the next year, and like, yeah, what does it matter?
Right. So it's kind of like, okay, if you're going to have a tournament of some kind, make it mean something. Give the winners a push. You know, make it look like it's worth something. So when they do it again, mm-hmm, you're like, great, I can't wait to see who wins this year, because then that could mean something better.
Right.
So, it's hard to say. It's hard to say it's going to be great until we see it, and then we see what happens in the aftermath.
Now it plays out over a couple weeks of NXT, and then like the, I assume like the semi or quarter to through the finals is on the special. One night, right?
Like I said, they haven't said anything.
Okay.
I mean,
we're ahead of ourselves then.
We've seen one match that they've had. They called it a first round match,
mm-hmm,
and that's it.
So we're seeing some matches.
Yeah. So apparently,
we'll probably get like quarterfinals on the special,
right? Because the special is only about 90 minutes.
Yeah. So you need like 7 matches. Like 7 matches would fill that out. So you got 4 quarterfinals, 2 semifinals, and then the finals.
Right.
So, yeah.
So we shall see, I guess,
yeah,
what they will do with that. Now, Mike, Dolph Ziggler resigned with WWE.
He got done filming that movie.
He chose to stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they're giving him the freedom to do whatever he wants.
Really?
On his days off.
Really?
So
like, for his comedy stuff, yeah, and like, the other things he's into.
Comedy or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
He can do that on his time off.
That's cool.
So what are your thoughts on Dolph Ziggler? Did he make the right move, or could he have done something else?
Well, I think if he has ambitions that lie outside of wrestling, if he can stay in WWE and have the freedom to do that, then, you know, that's a smart move. I think if he just wants to be in wrestling and that's his only ambition, then he needs to get out of there and go to Japan and go to Mexico and go all over the world and, you know, run ROH and be king of the indies, king all over the world.
Like AJ Styles.
Exactly. Like, he could have an AJ Styles run. I think AJ Styles' career has taken off since leaving TNA, and he's
making a lot of money.
Making a ton of money, reportedly. But, you know, if he wants to stop wrestling and still be a star and excel in other things, then there's no reason not to keep your profile high and, you know, and keep your name out there while you're trying to do that. I didn't realize, I guess it makes sense, but it never really occurred to me that it would be so difficult to be able to go and do comedy type things or whatever, acting, whatever it is he wants to do, while still on contract. Because, like, Xavier Woods has that YouTube channel, and I almost wonder if they even know he has it. Like, I wonder if he just didn't start it, and, like, just...
They probably don't.
Just start posting things, you know?
They probably don't. Yeah. And I think, you know, they're big on their people and whether, you know, what they're used for, because whatever they do kind of represents a company.
Well, CM Punk whined a lot about, like, wanting to do things like wanting to do outside things and
they wouldn't
having to go through the office, and then the office would hand his outside things to, like, The Miz or Sheamus or whoever. It's like, why would I do that? Like, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to just go out and do this parade. I don't have to tell you about it. Or I'm going to talk to THQ and I'm going to get on the cover of the video game or whatever. And so, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I mean, they're independent contractors technically, but they're obviously treated like contracted employees. And so, you know, who knows how it works with them in the office? Honestly, who knows how it works?
Well, talking about people who get their profile feature there,
mm-hmm,
Tough Enough has winners now.
Thank God it's over.
Somebody said they're not sad to see it go away.
Yeah,
what do you think of the season? Was it must-see TV?
No, it really wasn't. It was, you know, I come home on Tuesday night and it's on and I turn it on. That's about all it was.
Agree or disagree?
If they were really trying to make a run of it this year and really come up with like somebody who's actually going to be a star, I just think they failed. I think they screwed up the format. They screwed up the show. They overbooked everything. And they, you know, I don't see why you're going to give America a voice in the decision if, like, the judges and the trainers and everybody are going to constantly discount America's opinion.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, if you don't want America to have an opinion, then just don't give them one. Like, we didn't have one in 2011, and that season was fantastic.
Now, I agree or disagree. This could possibly be the worst season of Tough Enough.
Not only do I agree, I think it's likely to be the last.
You don't even think they'll keep it in network?
I don't think they're going to try it again. This was like the fifth or sixth attempt at Tough Enough. I mean, Maven and his run is the best thing that's come out of Tough Enough.
Well, I thought that the last season before this one was pretty good with Austin.
It was great television, and it got good ratings, but nobody came out of it that was actually a star. You know, I mean, nobody came out of it. I mean, who's the one person to come out of Tough Enough and have the best career? It's Cameron. I'm going to say that one more time because I want to be sure you're taking the journey with me on this. The person who came out of Tough Enough in 2011 and has had the best career, the best run, featured the most prominently, was the first person eliminated.
Why must you remind me?
I don't know, man. I don't think
I'm
they're going to try it again.
I'm trying to forget that part.
If you want it, like, to me, if you want to do Tough Enough and make it work, you need to take guys like Chuck Taylor or Chris Hero, and you need to fill out the show with guys that you're considering, but that you don't think are stars. And the show be an opportunity for those guys to show you, to prove that they can be stars. Not to take a bunch of models and failed athletes from other sports and everything and try to teach them how to wrestle. No, take guys like from the indies, your guys that have been trying for years to get in that you've been passing over, and throw them in there and see if somebody breaks out. Instead of it being there's one winner, have the show be about guys trying to prove that they're tough enough. And get the fans behind them. And then maybe the guy that you don't think is going to be a star, maybe he comes out of that show and has developed a fan base and now he is marketable. That's the way to go with Tough Enough. Certainly not the crap they did this season.
Now, let's talk about the winners. Yeah. Sarah. Did you vote for Sarah or did you vote for Amanda? Or who did you want to win?
I was behind Sarah from the get-go. There's nobody else that I really cared about. Sarah kind of had that underdog thing. Everybody likes an underdog. Sarah had that girl next door / you know, your friend's little sister kind of thing going on that everybody, you know, a lot of people find attractive. Once Amanda started, like, slut-shaming her and started, like, putting her business out there and being fake and devious and all that, then nobody was going to vote for her anyway. She lost in, like, a 2-1 landslide by the percentages.
What did you think of the match?
I thought Sarah's was better than anybody had given it credit for. I thought that everybody, the show was kind of structured to be about Sarah not knowing how to wrestle. And I thought her match was a lot better than Amanda's. Personally, I don't think Amanda did anything all that special. But I think Sarah actually had some good pops, some good bumps, some good, you know, just some good moves that told a, you know, really good story. What did you think?
Well, I'll tell you this. I really wasn't that impressed. But you know what? I think she did a lot of work.
By either of them?
Yeah, either one I wasn't impressed. But, you know, I think I was leaning towards Sarah winning this thing. I think the votes, and especially the way that Amanda just acted in the last episode, basically just told the story. Mm-hmm. But to me, I just find it like she was uncoordinated, right? And as an uncoordinated person myself, I can relate.
Yeah.
So she needs a lot of work.
That's skittery.
Right. I mean, It didn't look good. It looked good enough for an amateur.
Tough Talk was really good. Triple H had a lot to say on Tough Talk, and he had two really good points about Sarah. One was that part of being a star is the ability to connect with people. And Sarah obviously connected with people. He talked about his little daughters being at SummerSlam weekend that weekend before, and that the one person that they told him that they had met, that they were just wild and impressed and excited to have met, was Sarah Lee. And he's like, I don't know why, but she connected with them. She does connect with people. That's why people voted for her. That's what this is all about, is connecting with the crowd.
Yeah.
And number two is that he said, like, Amanda is a natural and Sarah is not, but that's not everything in this business, because heart is a lot more. And if it comes to Amanda naturally and she doesn't try as hard, and Sarah Lee has the heart for it and she goes after it harder, Sarah Lee's going to be successful. And I thought those were two really great points. And he made them, like, right after Billy Gunn just got done burying Sarah and saying he thought Amanda should have won. Triple H comes over and says those things. I think those are two really salient points about this whole
thing.
And
here's what I think, too. You think about Sarah, who basically was on the bottom three for so long, and how she kept getting beat up with all these comments, and she just kept going.
She would not go away.
She never broke.
Uh-huh.
She never gave up.
She won't be denied.
And, you know, she kept on going. Amanda sort of, you know, it's like, hey, I just come, I look pretty, uh-huh. And, you know, and she even said, oh, well, it's not about my looks, but girl, be honest. That's the only reason you got in there.
Amanda was that hot girl that nobody likes. You know what I mean? Like, everybody thinks she's hot. Everybody hates her guts, too. Like, that's the kind of girl that she presented herself as.
Yeah. So, the guys, you know, Josh, you know, he had the lead in the votes that week before.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I was personally hoping ZZ would do it.
Me too.
I don't get the whole heart thing that Triple H said about, you know, ZZ not having it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the words maybe weren't there. Maybe ZZ wasn't communicating himself in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the match, I wasn't impressed by either of them either, but what did you think about Josh's match?
Look, I mean, Josh is obviously the athletic one. He can obviously, he has better cardio, he can work a more athletic match. But I mean, the guy, he wasn't fun to watch, man. He comes out in, like, these, you know, silver shorty shorts and tennis shoes, and he has his little Wookiee Yeti call thing, and that's all there was to it. It wasn't fun to watch, and the slam on Cesaro was sloppy, and I kind of expected all four to be sloppy, but if you're going to pick somebody up and slam them, then do it right, man. That's another man in your hands. You know, as a wrestling fan, if I was ever in a position to, like, be in the ring with somebody, no matter what it is, I would never pick somebody up and slam them if I didn't know that I could do it, if I hadn't done it right 100 times before. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't. That's a dude's career, and if you're not going to do it right, then just don't do it. Like, you can, he could have worked that match without putting Cesaro at risk, and they're talking about finishers, he wanted to do a powerbomb, and it's like, you can't do a powerbomb. Let's talk about something a little more realistic. You could have done a move that Cesaro was kind of in control of. You know what I mean?
And tell me, who was more original, ZZ or Josh?
ZZ. I mean, Josh comes out like, I'm the Yeti. I have this. As soon as he was like, I just want to be the Yeti, I'm thinking of the Yeti from WCW. I'm thinking, like, that's not really a gimmick, man. Like, that feels like an 80s style gimmick. Yeah. Of like, oh, I have my little call, and I'm the Yeti, I have long hair, and I've come out in this furry thing.
And he's banking his whole entire thing on that stinking Yeti call.
It's my brand or whatever. People love doing it. Nobody loves doing it. You want your gimmick, or if you're going to have a call or a catchphrase or something, it needs to be something that other people can mimic, that other people can do. Most people can't do that. Most people can't make a Yeti call.
That's why I said it before, and I say it again. I wish him all the success that Andy Levine had.
Yeah, me too.
So
Andy Levine had some kind of a meth problem. That's why he got drummed out.
Dude, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He was gone as soon as he won.
I just don't understand why you need Josh when you have Roman Reigns. The dude is the best the dude's ever going to be is a white Roman Reigns. That's it.
Unless he becomes another Wyatt family member.
You better start.
He's already halfway
beard.
There.
What do you think of ZZ's match?
Yeah, same thing. I think it was sloppy. I think with ZZ, though, he just wasn't focused on the right thing, I don't think. I think another thing that's the biggest thing, not heart, focus. Mm-hmm. I think he just hasn't had, when he's there, he's all over the place. And I kind of think that that's what his thing was. And so with that, I just think that the trainers and the coaches and everybody just wasn't really behind him because they're like, dude, you're not getting this specific way. And, you know, it's kind of like with the comment that he made, oh, well, I didn't know it was going to be this, you know, this much, you know, physical.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, knew. How do you not know?
I was like, you know, man, again on Tough Talk, everybody was burying ZZ, and Triple H was like, you know, you told me that you would die before you would die to be able to do this, and I don't really know what you gave up or what you suffered. Like, you know, did you just miss Burger King or something? Everybody was burying him. And Daniel Bryan was the guy that spoke up and was like, you know, say whatever you want about ZZ and his time on this show. He came out here tonight and he did a wonderful job. Not perfect, but a wonderful job. And I think he did. His entrance could have been a little more flashy, a little more personality. He came out with that gator thing and it was just kind of slow and it wasn't that much to look at. But I mean, the dude, the moment that he looked like a star to me is when he landed that flapjack. And he got up, and it wasn't about the move. He landed the flapjack, and he got up, and he didn't go straight to put his knee in Cesaro's back. He turned to the crowd, and he got a pop from the crowd. He showed that charisma to go into his gator grip thing. And to me, that's the difference. Josh doesn't have that. Amanda doesn't have that. I mean, Sarah really didn't show that. ZZ was the guy that understood to take the moment to bring the crowd in when you can. And that's the moment that I don't remember almost anything from Josh's match. I remember that moment from ZZ. That moment of turning around and bringing the crowd into it. And like doing, I could see him doing the gator thing. And even if he's only like, if he's the Santino on the roster, he's that guy that the crowd is going to pop for when he does his shtick.
Yeah.
You know, that was the only superstar moment that I saw in any of those matches.
And with that, let me ask you this question. If there is another season of Tough Enough, are you going to watch it?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to watch it because I'm in this terribly abusive relationship with WWE, but I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it. I don't care how crappy it is. I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to hate myself. I'm going to hate them for putting it on. I'm going to hate everybody involved in the show, but I'm going to watch it, and I'll probably talk about it on this show with you in great detail with my detailed opinions on how it went.
Hey, it could be worse. You could be watching Total Divas, all right?
I do watch Total Divas.
Speaking of Total Divas.
Oh, my God. It really is an abusive relationship. It's like, I always think, like, you know, they can change. They didn't used to be this way. They really do care about me. They just have a funny way of showing it. They'll get, I know they can be better one day. It's a terribly abusive relationship we're all in.
So, with the Divas. So, we got the Divas Revolution.
Yeah.
Can we officially rename this to Divas Dissolution?
I think the best way is for it to be Divas Revolution trademark. it's this marketing branding Divas Revolution thing.
All right, so
copyright.
We've seen this juggernaut that is all the divas going against each other, losing to each other, fighting each other.
Paige, Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, Natalia. Fans still want to cheer every one of those girls. They want to. There is a desire to cheer all five of those. And maybe there's a few more, but those are the five that are the fan favorites that people want to see in matches, want to see succeed, want to see on the roster. I don't know why you need everybody else. I don't know why we need these arbitrary teams of three. I don't know why we need these like factions of girls being catty with each other. Just let those five girls be the division. Let there be two feuds going on. Let them give them a little mic time. Let them work matches and let them develop, all five of them develop independent characters, and let that be the revolution. Let Nikki hold the belt until she beats all of AJ's records, and then, you know, and if that's what you want to do, fine. But let those five girls develop into their own characters because people want to cheer them. They want to buy their merchandise. Bring Bailey up when the time comes. People want to get behind these characters. Why make it so difficult? Why?
That's the question, and you tell me this. I mean, do you think that is it politics, or is it just?
Well, you think of who the Bellas are married to? It's obviously politics. There's politics are going to be involved,
or do you think it's just an inept, you know, booking committee that doesn't know how to book women's wrestling? Because
I mean, to be fair, who does know how to book women's wrestling because it's been so bad for so long? Who out there has done it successfully outside of NXT? I mean, not many people have. I really think you don't need to write it or overproduce it that much. Like, you have... I know a lot of people are going to disagree on Natalya, and that's fine. I still think that if she comes out and wrestles a match like we know she can, people are going to get behind her. But at least with those four, everybody wants to cheer them, and Bayley too, whenever she comes up. Why get it? Just let it happen. Just let them work matches. Let them sell merchandise. Let him talk a little bit on the mic. Let the title belt get passed around. Hopefully, trade up for a non-butterfly belt, and just let it happen naturally. The talent is there if you just get out of the way. You know, it's just get out of the way and let it happen naturally. That's all you really need. You can keep the Bellas around if you want to. Let them be the, let the Bellas be the John Cena of the Divas division. Let them be the veterans that have been around forever, that are strong contenders and can wrestle matches. But like, let these 5 to 6 girls be the darlings that people want to see come out and wrestle. That in itself can be the revolution, that you just got out of the way and let it happen. That is revolutionary in WWE.
Yeah, I agree. But like you said, the Bellas, Nikki, who she's in bed with,
yeah,
I think is going to keep her there.
To have a job as long as she wants one.
I think, you see from last season of Total Divas, when, the Bellas were considering leaving, and you could see how they wanted to keep them and how highly esteemed they are. And of course, people buy their merchandise. And I think if it's anybody's fault, I blame the WWE Universe, because we have a voice, right? Vince McMahon says he listens to the people. Well, half the time at least, right? Yeah. And I think that people need to speak with their money.
Yeah.
Don't spend your money on Nikki and Brie Bella. Because all they're doing, look at Brie. I like her and all. I think she's the more talented of the two. But she uses her husband to get over with the kicks, the yeses.
Just the screaming, the Brie mode, right. The way she does it is kind of a Daniel Bryan way of doing it.
So it's kind of like, really? Come on, this is worse than just saying that you're in somebody's city to get a cheap pop.
Well, you can argue that Nikki works kind of a strongman style with the rack attack and some of the slam moves that she does. You can kind of argue that she's like the bruiser of the two Bellas as much as Nikki can be a bruiser.
She's still not as talented as Brie, though.
I think that's fair. She's got bigger boobs, though, and I think we don't need to discount that.
I think we can discount that.
If you think about, who are the girls that are in this basically 9-woman Divas division right now, these 3 teams, who are the ones that are not in that group that I named? Well, they're the Bellas, Alicia Fox, Naomi, those are all featured on Total Divas. So you have this mixture of the fan favorites who are on the roster, and you have this mixture of the Total Divas, and Rosa and, Paige is in both, and then Rosa and Eva Marie aren't really seen on the main roster. But, you're still going to feature these girls on Total Divas, because I think that show is probably a cash cow for them. I think it's a highly rated show on the E! Network. It's those scripted reality series that they do on those networks, and the Kardashians make $1 billion with all their shows, and... So obviously you're going to feature them because that's your woman outreach. I don't know, but you kind of have girls there that they present these girls on Total Divas like they're actual wrestlers. They present them like they are girls who want nothing more than to wrestle in the ring, and they've tried their whole lives and it's been their dreams, and this is what they're beautiful women that also kick butt all the time. And the reality is that's a perfect description of those 5 girls. Of Paige and Charlotte and Becky and Sasha and Natalya and Bayley. That's a perfect description of all of them. You can't say that about the Bellas. The Bellas may still be in WWE, but that's not all they've ever wanted to do. They'll do other things after this. You can't say that about... I don't think you say that about Naomi. You can't say that about Alicia Fox, I don't think. I mean, they enjoy wrestling and they're good at it. But I don't think they grew up with Ultimate Warrior posters on the wall. Anything like that. Bayley started training at 14. Paige grew up in a family. Charlotte was born into it, and she's a natural. Becky is the youngest woman to ever wrestle in Japan or win a belt, title belt in Japan, one or the other. I mean, these are all girls that are what the Total Divas girls are supposed to be.
Right.
So why not just let him be that? They have the women's division and the Total Divas division. Let them just be separate things.
Like they did before, have two different belts.
Exactly. The Total Divas and the women's wrestlers.
That would be wonderful.
Perfect.
I think, you know,
the Total Divas can have bikini match, bikini contests, and musical chairs like they used to do in the mid-2000s, and the women's division can wrestle.
Yes. I agree. Let's go right now. Let's go to Connecticut. Let's just get our banners back and say, bring women's wrestling back.
Let's be those douchey podcast guys that are like, they should just hire us to come up with ideas for them.
Let's actually talk about something that's good. In pro wrestling, Ring of Honor is coming to Atlanta.
Yes, we got Ring of Honor this weekend. We get it. So, like, we get it twice a year on average. They come about every 6 months. At least that's the way it's
reloaded. It's going.
They're on TV in this market now.
Are you looking for any match in particular?
Man, I just want to see the Briscoes come out and wrestle. The last time ROH came through Atlanta was back in February, and that card was fantastic. Those guys killed themselves working for us. It was a really great night, really hot crowd, and I really wanted to see the Briscoes, and AJ Styles came out and wrestled a barn burner and held up the IWGP title, and I thought that was the end of the show. To the point where, like, me and all my friends threw all of the streamers we had left, like, we just released all ammunition because we thought the show was over. And then, like, the Briscoes music hits, and they come out, and what do you know, the Briscoes are working a three stages of hell match with the Kingdom. And that's the actual main event of the show, and I lost my mind, man. I want to see the Briscoes come out and work. Mark Briscoe took a dive off of a production catwalk at the last show. I mean, it was through a table. It was insane. I just I want to see the Briscoes come out, man. That's worth my ticket.
Which match are you looking forward to the most?
What's on the
Mark
card?
Mark Briscoe versus Cliff Compton
or
Moose versus Jay Briscoe?
Well, I'm a big Cliff Compton fan. And Mark's been doing some really good work lately. But yeah, I mean Jay. Jay is. Even just watching him move around the ring is entertaining.
Right.
There's a swagger to Jay's style that I don't know that Mark always has. Mark has kind of that savage wild man aspect to him, but with Jay, there's this dessert, like, master of the ring kind of swagger. I mean, just the way he whips you into the ropes and the way, like, his foot kicks out when he's doing it, and this smoothness, this chaotic smoothness to it. Swagger is the best word for it. Not swag, that's a different thing. But the swagger that he has, man. So, I mean, I'm always going to go with Jay.
Yeah. Now, a match I'm looking forward to, Corey Hollis versus Cedric Alexander.
Isn't Corey the guy we saw at the SCI recently? Mm-hmm. Is that guy? Oh, he's good. He can fly around the ring.
Yeah. That's why I'm excited, because him and Cedric, I think, are going to put up a great, great...
I'm going to see some flippy stuff, that's wrestling. For sure.
Yeah, so they're going to do a great match.
Nice flippy-do match.
So, it's going to be
a big week coming up. The big weekend in Atlanta coming up.
Right. So, I mean, those two I'm looking forward to. Uh-huh. Mark Briscoe, Cliff Compton. I'm a big Cliff Compton fan.
I bet that's a fun match to watch, because both of those are really, really cool characters. They're really good at engaging the crowd. I bet that's going to be, like, the most fun match of the night for us, you know, as the audience.
Not only that, but, you know, front row seats, you know?
Yeah, I know. Me and my friends were... We invited you. I wish you could have been there, man. It hadn't happened yet, but I wish you could come with us. But we are front row... center, ringside, right behind the barricade, opposite the entrance ramp. So there's us, and we got the ring in front of us, and the entrance ramp behind us. Front row center. I think it's probably going to be the best view in the house.
Will you have a Maria, will you marry me sign?
No, because...
she's already married.
Well, that, and I bet she's real. I bet she's super high maintenance. I bet she has no chill, honestly. I bet she's super high maintenance, super needy.
I don't know. When I saw her in Celebrity Apprentice, I thought she seemed like a cool girl.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to her podcast that she and Mike do some. I think they kind of do it irregularly, and she seems cool and all. But I'm willing to bet she's like super high maintenance. There's no way she's not. That's not for me. I want a nice Southern girl I can take home to mom. If you are a nice Southern girl that would like to meet my mother. Please write in to michael@fowshow.com.
M. Williams at fowshow.com
for all of the single, good-hearted Southern women that would like to meet my mother.
They call me Mike Prime for a reason, single ladies that would like to meet my mom.
So, if you're interested in one Mike Prime, at mwill150, is that right?
Yes, I also, at mwill150 on Twitter. I do have one ringside ticket still available, so if you are in the Atlanta area and would like to see this show and sit with me and my friends, please, on Twitter, at mwill150, we can negotiate the price.
Single lady from the South.
I know. My mom will not be at the show, but we can arrange you meeting her at a date soon to follow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to meet the single women that listen to this show.
I don't even know if there are any single women that listen to the show.
Exactly. It's like Ashley Madison. It's just all dudes, and like you're hoping some girls are out there, but it's all dudes talking to each other. So what are the other matches on the card? Anything else that's like big or notable? I figure Moose is probably on the card.
So yeah, so there's going to be a lot of other cool matches. Michael Elgin versus Adam Page.
Michael Elgin just fresh off the G1 Climax.
Right. Looked fantastic there. The Kingdom against Will Ferrara and Watanabe. Roderick Strong versus...
Watanabe is from New Japan, right? Mm-hmm. Who's the other guy?
Will Ferrara. Never heard of him.
Me neither.
Yeah. Roderick Strong versus Caprice Coleman.
We're going to tear the house down
with that
one.
That's going to be pretty darn cool.
Roddy knows what he's doing.
Yep. Matt Sydal versus ACH versus War Machine.
Oh, that's going to be nuts, man.
That's a tag team. Matt Sydal and ACH versus War Machine.
That's going to be nuts, man. That's going to be... Talk about a flippy-do match.
And then for the main event, Adam Cole and Red Dragon versus Jay Lethal and The Addiction.
That's... I always hate finishing out a card with a six-man tag. It's a little SmackDown-y for me.
Well, you got all the champs at the end.
I mean, those are all guys that are, you know, that are entertaining, and I don't know. You know, Jay Lethal will do his stuff, and Red Dragon will do their stuff, and we'll get to see it all, and that's fine. But I'd rather see, you know, like we were talking about in February, the Briscoes and the Kingdom and a Three Stages of Hell match. That was a big deal, and if this time it's going to be like, here's a six-man tag. Kind of, you know, you don't see enough of any of the guys. The match tells kind of a weird and clunky story. It's not like a singles match where you can clearly follow the story of what's happening. It's kind of clunky, you know, a lot of random ups and downs in different places. Everybody's trying to get their stuff in.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that's not the only thing happening this weekend in pro wrestling.
No, it's a big wrestling weekend in the Atlanta market.
Yeah, because we have Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it's going to be a great show. Follow the White Rabbit. They're going all out here. And we'll get to the main event later.
Right.
But first, Murder One.
Yeah.
The man is on a... killing spree, per se, getting ready for Sabu.
Well, he's jumping people from behind, and when they're not ready, I mean, it's easy to take somebody out when you jump them before the bell rings and then smash them in the head with a chair. Yeah. I wouldn't say that's a killing spree. I just kind of say, like shooting fish in a barrel. It doesn't exactly take a warrior.
So, who will be his next victim or victims? Because he's trying to prove a point. So, whoever it is, I'm glad it's not me. I'm glad it's not you. I don't think you could take it.
Yeah, I don't sweat murder. Murder doesn't scare me.
Well, you know what? Until he puts you through a table.
I don't think you're going to see it, man. I think he's too afraid. I don't think he really wants to. I think that he's not accustomed to people seeing through his exterior, seeing through his, like, oh, I'm Murder One. I'm going to kill people, blah, blah, blah. I don't think he's used to people seeing through that and seeing the coward that he is. Just seeing, you know, it's like you're dealing with a bully in high school where you just, you know, you kind of see, oh, you had a tough life at home. That's why you're acting out like this. And I think he probably sees me as somebody that sees him for what he is, and he's not comfortable with that. So I don't think he's really going to make any moves, or I don't think I really, you know, need to sweat him at all, because I think he's just going to keep his distance.
Well,
honestly.
For your sake, I hope it's true.
Well, for his sake, really.
Next, we're going to have two tag teams making their AWE debut. Mm-hmm. It will be Team IOU against Joe Black and Will Huckabee. Now, both teams.
I'm not familiar with any of these guys. Are any of these names that I would have heard somewhere else?
Only if you follow the North Carolina scene.
Okay.
You know, PWX.
They're kind of expanding to that PWX territory
over the Atlanta market.
Okay. Well, then they need to make a name for themselves here, so they ought to be pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really exciting because we're seeing this trend of the tag teams coming back to, you know, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, you know, because
filling out that tag division.
Yeah, we had the Lethal Weapons, but they're still together. They're still doing their own things.
Well,
the Lynch Mob
really tore the house down at 2 weeks ago.
That was great. Lynch Mob,
and it's real and it's spectacular.
I'll say they'll probably, I mean... I knew what to expect out of the other guys. I think, to me, the Lynch Mob was really impressive.
Yeah, me
too.
Absolutely.
They helped make the show great. It was a great way to start that show.
They had a cohesion together that reminded me of the Hardys in their prime. Yeah. That sort of brothers that have been through the fire together and kind of just always know what the other one has in mind. And that right. was really what was fun to watch about the about the Lynch guys.
Definitely, I agree. So this and two other tag teams, depending on how they do, we may see them back again, as hopefully we'll see the Lynch mob mm-hmm. back. It was pretty cool to see those. So,
do you want to see tag belts in AWE? Tag team championships?
Maybe, but I think we need to establish more tag teams.
Build the division a little more.
Yes, because okay. you don't want somebody to be here one time and then be gone.
Right.
You want to see guys who are working here on a regular basis before you can say, we're going to put tag teams.
Somebody
here.
Who's really going to come into the AWE landscape and like till the soil and plant crops. Not exactly. just kind of pass through town for a day. I got right. you. I agree with that. And I think that with the loss of the Lethal Weapons as a regular tag team, we've kind of struggled with that in AWE for a while to build that tag division. And I think the way you start is you bring in teams that need to make a name for themselves, and you just give them the platform and you let them work to establish themselves. So I'm excited to see all these new teams coming in. The Lynch Mob set a really great precedent. Is it the Lynch Mob or the Lynch Boys or what is the
Lynch
actual?
Mob is what they
the
were
Lynch Mob.
Called.
Okay, all right. So I don't want to be called the Lynch Mob if they're like the Lynch Brothers or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, they are brothers.
Yeah. So. So anyway, I think the Lynch Mob set a really great precedent of coming in and just putting on a great show, fighting a great match, and bringing their talent into AWE. So I'm excited to see these other teams come in and also lend their own skills.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm looking forward to see what these guys have to do to give. I've seen some of what Huckabee has done, and it looks good. And I'm excited to see the tag team and see what these guys bring together. Now, then we're going to see more of the Iceberg, Siler Cross feud here with the two giants. They're heading towards each other, and, you know, we saw glimpses of that before in the last few weeks. Not sure if they'll be facing each other yet or they'll be on another challenge, but you know, it's exciting. Two big guys who you know just tear the house down. So that's pretty cool to me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, we talk about the unstoppable force and the immovable object, and I think that it's a different dynamic when you have the immovable object versus the immovable object, and it's unstoppable force, immovable object is the kind of thing that may tear the building down, but I think that immovable object versus immovable object is the kind of thing that cracks the crust of the earth, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to be at ground zero with the quad to see it all go down.
Now, next, we'll get a rematch from It's Real and It's Spectacular when Owen Knight goes one-on-one against Adrian Armour one more time.
These guys are out for blood.
What did you think about the first match?
Oh, it was
and,
a barn burner.
What do we expect out of the second match?
Man, just a couple of homegrown guys, each with something to prove, each wanting to make a name for themselves, each gunning for Jimmy Rave in that the Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship. I mean, just two guys that need to prove themselves on their own home turf, guys that we've seen kind of come up through the ranks and hone their craft and develop their skills and finally put them to the test against one another. And it was a hard-fought match. Adrian Armour came out on top, but not by much. I mean, Owen can beat Adrian. And I hate to say that because I'm a big Adrian fan. I'd love to see Adrian just, you know, wipe the floor with him. But Owen can beat him if Adrian is not careful. And I think that both of these guys are out for blood. I think that whatever they're out to prove, they started proving it at It's Real and It's Spectacular. But I think now they're out to put a period on it at Follow the White Rabbit. And I think that both of them want to, like, plant their boot on the other's head and step over them to get to that Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship. And I think that we're just going to see two guys that will not be denied on their quest for championship gold.
Hey, this is important for both guys
yeah.
and for the momentum going towards that September 13th show. Now, next we have Shane Strickland, a man who's made a name for himself in the Northeast. He's wrestling the West Coast. Now he's coming to the Southeast, to Georgia, and he's facing the man who, you know, many call the biggest kept secret in pro wrestling, in Chip Day. You know, he's from your hometown.
Yes, he is. Kennesaw.
But, you know, Shane, I mean, he's looked spectacular. He's been on a roll, and now he's coming here to prove a point.
Well, I'm definitely excited to see it. I mean, anytime you see a star from out of town coming in to challenge your hometown hero, you know, that's a special occasion. If I'm Shane Strickland, I probably am discounting Chip Day. I'm probably looking past him and not really taking him as seriously as I should. And if I'm Chip Day, I want to use that to my advantage. For Shane Strickland to be making his name in Lucha Underground, to be battling against some of the best in the world in Lucha Libre, I'm sure he thinks, well, I'm just going to come into Atlanta, I'm going to challenge this local guy, and I'm going to wipe the floor with him, and then I'm on to my next stop that week. But I think Chip is in a position that he needs to make a statement. I think Chip has been floundering against Jimmy and Murder and just this numbers game tactics they've been using on him for so long. He's been nursing that knee injury too, and then dealing with the trauma, Priscilla Kelly turning on him at To Be the Man, kissing Jimmy Rave's boot and right in front of him. He's been dealing with a lot, and I think that for Chip to start making his comeback, I think he needs to make a statement, and I think that kicking the head off of Shane Strickland is a great way to do that. So if I'm Chip, I'm going to play it very, very cool, and I'm going to let Shane Strickland walk in with an undeserved sense of confidence, and then I'm just going to kick his head right off his shoulders. And I can't wait to see it. I mean, we don't really know where Chip has been or what Chip has been up to. That knee injury flared up at the season 2 premiere, and we don't know if it's been treated. We don't know where he is in the rehab process. We really don't even know his state of mind. So going into this show this weekend, I'm eager to see Chip. I'm eager to see where his head is at. I'm hoping that he's able to make a strong statement against Shane Strickland to get back on his feet and get back in the hunt for the Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship. What do you think, though?
I think that Chip Day is a great guy to welcome in new guys. He did it with Andrew Everett. They put a fantastic match.
Yes.
I think, you know, if you have two guys, one represents the Northeast, one the South, I think you put them together, it's kind of like, you know, you don't write this any better, right?
Right.
We've seen the story play out many a times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chip has something to prove.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he's having all these obstacles.
Yes.
All these things that you've already mentioned that he's dealing with. But then we have Shane Strickland, who's, you know, making a name for himself, who's a high flyer, who's athletic, and who's on the rise. And he's coming to the South to make a name for himself here, and, you know, at the expense of Chip Day. Both guys have something to prove. And, you know, it could be anybody's game. I know that they're both going to give it their all. It's going to be exciting. So, you know, we'll see who wins. At the end, I think the fans will be the winners, because we're going to be treated to a fantastic match.
It's just what's so great is that we're always the winners when these kind of situations come up. Yeah. We're the ones that benefit, right? You know, we talk about, is this good for him? Is this good for him? Well, it's good for us one way or the other. It's great about being a wrestling fan.
Now, what a better way to end the weekend, this wrestling weekend, than with Jimmy Rave, the crown jewel of professional wrestling, and the AWE Wrestling Crown Champion, going one-on-one against Ring of Honor's own Cedric Alexander. These are two guys who are probably at the top of their game. They're probably having their best years ever. Cedric, you know, he started in a tag team. He finally stood on his own last year. 2015, he's been everywhere, wrestling everybody, making, you know, his name known everywhere. And then you have Jimmy Rave, who's come out of retirement to become probably the best wrestler out of Georgia this year. You know, he's probably Georgia's best wrestler, period, at this point. You know, he won the Cindy City Invitational. You know, he's got titles all over Georgia. The man just...
It's a founding father of ROH.
Right. He just... Right now, he's on the biggest role of his career. Some may say that the best he's ever looked. I don't think this match is going to disappoint. It's the best way to end this wrestling weekend. It's going to be like, you know, what we saw WWE do last weekend, you know, on an indie level, you're going to see that now. And I couldn't have picked two better guys to end it. Your thoughts, Mike?
I'm so deeply conflicted about this because all that stuff I just said about Chip and Shane also kind of applies here because we have an outside star coming in to challenge a hometown guy. But I just can't get behind Jimmy as somebody that I want to see show up the outside star. I mean, Jimmy has been on, it pains me to say it, the guy's undeniably been on fire. He's having some of the best matches anywhere right now. I mean, it's like he can't be touched. The Scenic City Invitational, the Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship, his domination in AWE, sometimes with barely breaking a sweat to do it. I want to get behind, you know, the more hometown AWE guy, but I think it's time for Jimmy to take a three count. I don't like this guy's attitude. I don't like his swagger. I don't like the disrespect to the fans that he always shows. I don't know what he thinks he'd be doing with his life if there weren't fans showing up to watch him wrestle, and why he treats the fans the way he does. If Cedric comes in and he's able to take the GWC championship from Jimmy Rave, I don't really know what that means. I mean, if you can't beat Jimmy, can you beat Cedric Alexander? What does that mean? I mean, when are we going to see another homegrown AWE guy actually hold the title belt in AWE? If we have this foreign superstar that's running all over the world, back, you know, over to New Japan and back over to ROH and all over the country holding the Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship, when are we going to see a guy like Adrian Armour actually hold it? I don't know. I don't really know what that means for AWE. So on the one hand, I want to see Jimmy hang on to it and keep it in home territory. But I don't really like seeing Jimmy as the champion. I don't think he's a good representation of AWE. So I don't know which way this thing is going to go. I think, regardless of the outcome, it's going to be a fantastic match, and we as the fans, as usual, are going to be the winners. So, I mean, you know, once again, another excellent job of AWE, by AWE, of giving us a very strong reason to buy a ticket and come and be a fan. I don't know which way it's going to go. I really don't. I could see it going towards Cedric. I could see it going towards Jimmy. There's pros and cons to both for me personally as an AWE fan, but as a wrestling fan, I want to see the match. I really do. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I just think that these two are going to, you know, blow the roof off the quad. And, you know,
it's gonna just see, like, some flippy, you know, dudes.
Yeah, we've seen what Cedric can do in Ring of Honor.
Right.
And we know what Jimmy Rave can do and the mind tricks. And he gets in your head real good. Yeah, I just think that the two of them will, you know, just put up, possibly, it could possibly be the best match we've ever seen in AWE. And, you know, we've seen a lot of great matches.
It has all the hallmarks of an all-time classic for AWE. I mean, Cedric can fly around the ring all he wants, but, I mean, when Jimmy Rave locks him in that headlock and brings him down to the mat and gets inside his head and plays his mind games and wraps him around his, you know, just wraps him up in the kind of hold that he's able to wrap people up in, I don't know, man. This thing could go either way. It really could. It's too close to call. It's just too close to call right now.
Well, I don't know, but, you know, we know that the winner will go on to then defend the title against JT Dunn on September 13th.
Yes.
So,
Where Murder One will get utterly destroyed by the homicidal, genocidal, suicidal, death-defying Sabu.
But tell us how you really feel about that.
No, I just want to be an impartial fan and just see the outcome of a fair athletic competition that in no way ends with Murder One being smashed through a table.
But putting you through one instead. You forgot to add those words there. Man. Now, with that,
I don't think Murder has the guts to try to put me through a table.
With that, it's going to be a fantastic weekend.
Yes.
Ring of Honor, if you're in the area, go check out the few seats that are available.
If you need a ticket, at MWill150 on Twitter. I got the one.
Find Mike Prime on Twitter. He has one front row ticket remaining. And after that, I tell you, ATLWrestlingEnt.com is where you can get your tickets for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Follow the White Rabbit.
And it's worth every penny. You know, I made a deal with all my friends that are wrestling fans this past weekend that if they go to this show, go ahead, buy your ticket, pay full price, go to the show. If at the end of the show you didn't have a good time, you didn't think it was worth the money, you don't want to see another AWE show, to come and talk to me, and I will personally, out of my own pocket, reimburse the cost of their ticket. That is the degree to which I believe in this product. I believe it is worth your time and your consideration. I don't know how many friends I'm going to have show up there. I mean, I don't know how many tickets I need to be prepared to reimburse, but honestly, I can probably prepare to reimburse none because whoever shows up is going to have an excellent time.
Get him now because it's going to be an amazing show. And while you're at it, go ahead and start getting your tickets for, you know, the Sabu against Murder 1 show on September 13th because that one's also going to sell out very quick, I'm sure.
Tales of an Arabian Facebuster?
Yes.
I think is the name of the title of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And it's just going to be awesome. And, you know, you want to know what good wrestling is all about? You know, support indie wrestling here in Atlanta, Georgia. If you're in the area, check out just all the cool stuff that's going on. Mike and I definitely enjoying watching it. And, you know, we'll be there live.
Yes, we will.
We'll be live tweeting throughout the show. We'll do live at the Quad Part 3. Mike Prime will be doing nothing but watching it because he's a tool that doesn't like to work.
Mike Prime will be doing an excellent job being a vocal and animated member of the audience.
Mike Prime is going to be picking fights. By the way, none of this is going to make the
air. Oh, come on. This is good stuff. It's all personality here. Mike Prime is going to be a vocal and active and engaged member of the audience, encouraging everyone around him to also be engaged in the product at hand.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great thing to do. Yeah. But while you're doing that, make sure that you follow us on Twitter at MWill150 is for Mike Prime. I'm on Twitter at Yellow Maniac. Fans of Wrestling is on Twitter at FOW Radio. Make sure you follow us and you know, tweet about the shows as you're watching live. Ring of Honor on Saturday, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment on Sunday. And make sure that you subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.